Ace Podcast.
Weird.
That music sounds good.
That's a rocking little ditty
it
right
really
there.
It really is.
I want to thank Mark Patch again for that excellent, excellent intro music.
Oh, yeah, Mark Patch, the man.
And the outro music's pretty kicking, too.
Yeah, but let's not listen to that yet.
By the way, no, we got a ways to go before that.
Hey, Hey, this is Craig.
This is Aaron.
And welcome to Weird.
You're listening to Weird.
Weird, coming to you from a live studio location somewhere outside of Nashville.
Almost live.
Almost.
Because it's going to be recorded. But, hey, we got another review this week. Another five-star review.
Yeah.
This is titled Charming and Informative from The Lone Gun from Canada. Hey, it's a Canadian
one. It's
like
the only gun in Canada.
Hey, beauty.
Hey, beauty.
Aaron and Craig are a delight to listen to, and it's also a nice escape to have a fun, energetic energetic podcast that covers the weirdest stories of the day. These two are charming, Craig.
Oh, that's so nice.
These two are charming.
Must not know us that well.
I can't get over their accents. I still think they're talking like when you're doing the Australian accents, when they mention accents, right?
I think they're talking about your hillbilly accent.
Love them. And they have a great comedic timing as they play off one another. Definitely give it a listen. That's so nice of you. Thank you, the lone gun from Canada.
Thank you, the only gun in Canada.
So I guess I'll take top story this week.
Okay.
Top story.
Funeral home sets on.
You didn't
on
say it.
Hey, but we're that new podcast now. Maybe I should change my intro.
Okay, we
my
need
intro
to decide right now if you're going to say headline is or if you're going to say
no,
here's the story headline.
No, here's what we're talking about in the next minute
right
or
off
so.
You can say something like right off the wire.
Yeah, hot off the wire.
Hot off the wire, hot off the press.
Let's try it again. I'll try something different.
Okay.
Top story.
Headline is funeral home.
That was the exact same thing you always
yeah, but I'm comfortable with it.
Okay.
Funeral home sets on fire during cremation of overly obese corpse.
Wait, funeral home sets on fire?
That's what the headline says.
That
I just read it like
no
they write
sense.
It. Doesn't. It's journalism from today. But here's the story, Craig. The fire started at the Hillside Chapel Crematory on Tuesday night in Cincinnati, Ohio. Don Kachin, owner of the funeral home, said flames from a cremation spread outside a furnace when the fire got too hot and what he describes a freak accident. He said, this is from Ohio, so he said, my operator was in the process of cremating remains, and the body was overly obese, and apparently it got a little hotter than the unit is supposed to get.
A little bit.
One of the cremation containers that we had close to got caught on fire, and that's what burnt. Fortunately, nobody was injured, and the cremation is well protected in case
nobody
of fire.
Nobody but the dead guy.
Firefighters put out the blaze, and no one was hurt. According to the Associated Press, Mr. Kachin told WCPO-TV that fireproofing measures at the business limited to the damage and the spread of flames to one area, so no other bodies were affected.
I guess I don't understand crematoriums well enough, but I kind of imagine them being mostly concrete and really that easy to burn
down. Yeah, like yucky and cold until
you light
the fire.
Well, I just mean considering that, you know, it's like rocket engines going in those things, you know, burning up these.
Yeah.
That's a lot of heat.
That is a lot of heat.
Hey, we got an audio clip?
Yeah, we do, but let's get this. I want you to read the story.
No, I want an audio clip.
No, because they won't understand it without you reading the story.
Well, it said at the top, it said audio clip.
Yeah, we got one coming up with this story.
Oh, so now I got to wait.
Yeah, you'll hear it in a minute.
Okay. You promise?
I promise.
Delta travelers forced to enjoy mid-flight Kenny G concert for charity.
I love the way they
some
word
kind
that.
Of a is that some kind of a form of torture?
Yes, it is.
I have to brush my teeth before I can play my saxophone, human meme Kenny G announced to an airborne Delta flight over the plane's speaker system.
Okay, wait, two things. First of all, good thing it's not United.
You're right.
Because they can't use any more bad press.
Right.
And what do you think bad breath sounds different going through a saxophone?
Probably, maybe his slobber is stinky.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah, I don't know. This happened mere seconds before Kenny G, the most niche of performers, traversed the airplane's aisles, a free jazz yakety sax in the sky. TMZ obtained the video of Kenny G spinning his tunes behind a hidden wall of iPhones. I guess they all had their iPhones up in the air.
Yeah, because everybody's recording it.
How did this come to be? Apparently, Kenny G, the lost member of Foster the People, was on a flight Saturday headed for from Tampa to Los Angeles when he was propositioned to play for a charitable cause. The deal was that if the passengers on the plane raised $2,000 for Relay for Life, he would play his sax on the plane.
And then they had to raise 10 more to get him to stop.
Yeah, then there was therapy. Yeah. And the money was raised, and, well, you know the rest.
All right, here's our audio.
I have to do it because Jane asked me to do it, so just know that
you
I
can hear the airplane.
Bring any awareness to myself. This is for her cause.
He's not bringing awareness to himself.
Thank you all for donating so much, but I have to brush my teeth first before I play my saxophone, so just give me a nod for 5 minutes, and I'll come and do it.
It was so uncomfortable to watch this video, by the way.
$2,000 at this point, and he is kind enough to do this, to raise the money, and it's for a very special cause. One of our flight attendants' daughters had lost her life.
Dude's brushing.
He's brushing wig.
And we really appreciate this. So, there we go.
Almost there.
There he goes. And he's walking down the aisle, and people are like, you know, backing up. He's getting right in their faces. All in all, it was a nice thing.
I don't know what's more annoying, the sound of the airplane or the sound of him playing.
All in all, it was a nice thing for him to do, you know. And he is talented. He's a talented guy. My wife used to really enjoy his music and would listen to it.
You're not winning me over.
Well, I'm just telling you. That's how it is.
Hey.
Yeah.
Don't you have some theme music to play?
You talking about this?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we didn't get any votes on this, whether people like it or not.
That means everybody likes it.
Okay, good. Although Lori, oddly enough, listened to that episode and yelled at me. She said, you're letting
she
listeners
actually
vote.
Listened.
Yeah. She actually called me on the phone. She said, you're letting your listeners vote? I said, yeah. It's Craig's idea.
Yeah, he did
That's
it.
That's what I said. Headline is man who lived above public toilet for 3 years gets arrested.
Is that breaking a law?
I don't know. I guess it is. A man living
Breaking the law.
A man living in a crawl space above a public toilet has been arrested. It's a fine. But this is no cramped area. It's 92 square meters or 990 square feet.
That's a pretty big area.
That's not bad. Yeah, that's roughly the same size as like a your average San Francisco condo, which would sell for about $1 million. So,
like when they wrote that, yeah. Do they think honestly people know what a size? Unless you're in San Francisco,
I don't
know what.
Maybe this was from San Francisco.
Maybe
it was written there. Takashi Yamanashi. Or something
old man
like that.
Yamanashi's boy?
That's the one. Age 54 had apparently been living in these relatively spacious quarters above the bathroom in a city park in a small city of Yusaki.
That's nowhere near San Francisco.
For the past 3 years. He wasn't the first to find the room he digs, but told the Maniachi that he moved in only after another squatter had moved
another
out.
What?
A squatter. A squatter potter.
A squatter.
Living above a public bathroom has its obvious disadvantages, Craig. You know, like air fresheners and things.
Right.
But the one obvious plus.
No, I would think an air freshener would be advantageous.
Yeah, well, it would be.
I just wanted to use a word like advantageous.
That's a good word.
It is a pretty good word.
But the one obvious plus, having access to a bathroom, appears to have been the one plus ignored by Mr. Yamanashi. He apparently filled hundreds of plastic containers with urine, which were found when authorities cleared out his abode.
Wait, he couldn't just go downstairs?
I don't know what's wrong with him. Also found in his neat and tidy quarters were an electric heater and a gas stove. That's dangerous. After Mr.
Can hear all that methane.
After Mr. Yamanashi was arrested for trespassing.
I bet it was a gas stove.
Yusaki authorities ordered a search of the crawl space above the toilets in all the city parks. Let's hit them all.
You search bathroom now.
So far, no other interlopers have been discovered.
Are those people that go get married without telling anybody?
So let's break it down. This guy.
Oh, those are elopers.
That's correct.
Oh, right.
This guy over in Japan, he said, I need a place to stay. I got no money. So he goes in this bathroom, and it's, you know, clean bathroom. He looks up.
He goes, oh, that's ceiling tile. I moved that.
Look up there. I think it's roomy. So he goes upstairs somehow. Who knows?
Maybe. Well, he knew somebody else had lived up there.
That's right. There was a squatter, as they say, already living there. Kicks him out or gets rid of him somehow. And he says, oh, nice apartment.
He flushes him out.
3 years free rent.
You're not going to give me any love on these toilet jokes, are you?
Hey, we got a local story.
Yes,
you know what?
I've actually
got a local theme on here somewhere.
Yeah, I believe we all are still coming to terms with that from the last show.
Local story.
Nashville woman calls cops after husband refuses to get her ice cream.
Well, she should call the cops.
Yeah, he should go get her ice
Absolutely
cream.
Absolutely he should.
This is in Nashville, Tennessee. A 37-year-old Nashville woman was arrested on Sunday for filing a false report after her husband refused to go get her ice cream.
Jerk.
According to the arrest affidavit for the woman, officers responded to her home after she alleged her husband had punched her in the face.
Oh, man.
Upon arrival, her husband told police there was no violence, that his wife was angry because she wanted him to go get her ice cream, but refused to due to being tired from working all day.
I've been working all day, woman. You go get your own ice cream.
Right. The woman admitted she had not been assaulted and just wanted police there so her husband would calm down.
Everybody just calm down.
The officer says he notified the woman it was a crime to file a false report and she would be placed under arrest. The woman first asked to use the restroom, which she was allowed to do as long as the door was left cracked open.
They want to make sure she don't escape out the window.
Or that was a courtesy for the next person. Police say after 2 minutes, they heard a window open, followed by a loud thud. The woman had jumped through the bathroom window and fled the scene. She was later captured and booked into Davidson County Jail for filing a false report and evading arrest.
And they found her at the local Dairy Queen getting a blizzard.
Oh, yeah.
Which her hubby wouldn't do for her.
Which would have just avoided all of this.
If he'd have just got her some ice cream.
Yeah.
How many times have problems been solved with ice cream?
I would say...
I can't be
every
mad.
Every time?
Every time. I can't be mad with ice cream in my hands.
No.
I'm like, happy. Hey, Craig, this next headline is a tongue twister, but I'm going to try it. Pennsylvania pastor perplexed by 10-pound package of pot.
Pretty good. Hey. Can you say it again?
Pennsylvania pastor perplexed by 10-pound package of pot.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, the police in Pennsylvania.
No, that wasn't impressive, the fact that it was a 10-pound package of pot.
Oh,
that
well, whatever. Impressive. Police in Pennsylvania said a church pastor contacted authorities after receiving a UPS package that unexpectedly contained 10 pounds of marijuana.
Wow.
The Yeadon Police Department said UPS delivered a package to the pastor's Yeadon home. Yeadon's a funny place to say.
Yeadon. Jordan Yeadon.
Last week, and when the pastor opened the box, which was shipped from Sacramento, California, at her Southwest Philadelphia ministry to discover it contained wrapped bundles of marijuana that had been stuffed into a bucket before being placed inside the box. Police said the pastor's worried someone's going to come looking for their pot package, and I don't blame her. I mean, I'd be scared, too.
Someone from Sacramento. Someone who was brazen enough to mail pot.
Really? She's very upset and traumatized, and she feels this person or persons who were going to pick up the package might come back, Yeadon Police Chief Donald Molino said. The chief said his department has logged 3 different incidents during the past couple of years involving people using the addresses of strangers to mail drugs to themselves. Police said they're now trying to obtain surveillance camera footage from the UPS drop-off location in California in an attempt to identify the sender.
Why would you send it to a church?
I guess they're going to try to run by and pick it up before anybody opens it. Like, oh, UPS told me they delivered their package here accidentally. I'm here to get it.
Man, I don't know. You sound like you got this all figured out.
No, not at all. Police in Upper Darby, less than 5 miles away from Yeadon, faced a similar mystery when employees expecting a shipment of menswear at a City Blue store opened up a pair of FedEx packages to find a total of 90 pounds of marijuana.
What is going on up
instead
there?
Instead of men's pants. So the marijuana in that case estimated to be worth $270,000, Craig.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, you like the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, who doesn't? I love Nessie. Nessie.
The Scots love Nessie.
You know where I read about him? Where? In the papers.
In the newspapers. Loch Ness Monster missing after no sightings in 8 months.
Wait a minute. I thought the Loch Ness Monster were like, that was his thing. He was missing, or she was missing.
Well.
Nessie.
Well,
so,
maybe.
Obviously, they have a lot more sightings than I knew.
Gary Campbell, keeper of the official Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register, admitted that he was worried by the lack of sightings.
I didn't even know there was such a thing, the Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register.
Apparently.
Huh.
Last year was a record year for 8 sightings, but then she seems to have disappeared.
That's a drag.
Yeah, well, they're going to drag the lake for. Nessie usually appears in the summer, although it isn't unheard of for her to be spotted during the winter months. Despite the high number of Nessie sightings in 2016, the best year since 2000.
Yikes. She's been busy. Now, see, that's what it is. She's tired.
Very tired.
Yeah.
The last, it's hard coming up, showing your head, doing backstroke.
You got to know
again.
When the camera's going to be there, just far enough to where you'll be fuzzy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The last recorded sighting of Scotland's most famous resident was on August 21st last year. In September, a whiskey warehouse worker snapped what appeared to be one of the most convincing images of Nessie stealing several cases of whiskey.
It wasn't me. It was
Nessie. But friends of Ian Bremner believe the 58-year-old took a photo of 3 seals in the lock. However,
by the way, Ian, that's the perfect Scottish name.
It is
Ian.
However, Mr. Bremner's picture fits in perfectly with the widely believed description of Nessie being a long serpent creature which stretches as far back as the early 1930s.
Oh, I thought she was a lot older than that.
You would think so. Mr. Bremner's photograph closely resembles some of the most notable examples of the creature. Encounters from 1933 report a 10-foot-long, limbless creature crossing the road, leaving behind a slimy trail of undergrowth.
That's just a snake,
that
man.
That could be the guy leaving the bar. And in 2001, two fishermen reported seeing a dark 6-foot-long blob sticking its head out of the water, but were adamant that it was not a seal.
That's no seal.
Mr. Campbell is hopeful that, with more people visiting Loch Ness over the Easter period, more sightings may be reported in the near future.
Yeah, I hope so. I haven't checked to see if there were any sightings after Easter.
We're quite worried that it's been an 8-month gap since the last sighting. This is especially so when you consider that pretty much everyone has access to a camera phone and take pictures and videos.
True.
We would have expected to at least see something in that time period.
Sure. In 8 months, somebody's going to see something that looks like Nessie.
When it comes to reports of sighting Nessie, we reckon about half of those sent to us don't make it to the register.
Nah, not good enough.
What's really strange is that nothing's been reported at all. Not even sightings of things that we can discount.
Oh, they're going to have a sale.
It might be, however, that people are becoming more savvy. It's also pretty easy to compare any picture you've taken with known creatures in the loch that are already online somewhere. It's the contrast between the 8-month period and the early part of 2016. They had the largest number of sightings since the year 2000.
Well, that is a predicament. They had a huge amount of sightings and nothing. And what if the Loch Ness Monster died?
I don't know. And then they had this guy come on a podcast and start trying to do a Scottish accent. Add insult to injury.
That killed Nessie. Headline is, suspect drops bag of drugs in court. Judge Mark Mihok says that this is a first in his courtroom. Security cameras were rolling as 39-year-old Lamar Reed of Lorain, Ohio, walked up to enter a plea on a minor traffic violation. So this guy got a ticket. He says, I'm going to go to court and try to get out of this thing.
And I don't want to leave my drugs in the car because they might get stolen.
Somebody might rip them off.
Yeah.
And that's when Reed unknowingly dropped a bag of cocaine out of his baseball cap onto the floor.
You got to be a special kind of stupid.
That's an idiotic thing to do. It wasn't until about an hour later when courtroom security officers noticed the bag of drugs on the floor.
Well, how they knew it belonged to him.
He picked it up.
His name written on a sharp with Sharpie.
He looked at it and saw a white powdery substance. We had it field tested by the Lorain Police Department.
It said Lamar.
Yeah, and it tested
positive. If found, call Lamar.
Call Lamar's baseball cap.
Yes.
It tested positive for cocaine, said Mihok. Judge Mihok says his staff reviewed the security footage until they saw that it was Reed who dropped it.
Oh, that's how they found out. Yep. Okay.
A warrant was then immediately issued for his arrest. He was only here for a traffic ticket, the judge said. He made a simple traffic ticket with only a penalty of a fine into a felony. So, not a good day for him. So, obviously, he didn't even get out of the ticket to start with because he had to pay the fine. But now, he's a felony.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
man.
He's a felon.
Knee.
No, he's just a felon.
Well, he's got knees.
You don't know that.
Well, that's true, I don't.
What if he doesn't have knees?
Well, they said he was standing
up. That would explain the Frankenstein walk. Village clerk apologizes for profane insult on water bill.
Oh, this is a good one. I read this one.
A Michigan village clerk has apologized to a couple after she sent them a water bill addressed to the woman and the blank who lives here, too.
The expletive who lives with her.
Julie Glenn, who serves as clerk for the village of Augusta, sent a letter of apology to Annette Tolis and Kevin Barthel after they noticed the profane insult. Would you want to send them something and then insult them, too? They've been through a lot, Aaron.
If she's sending them a water bill in Michigan, I'm afraid they've already been insulted enough.
Yeah, poisoned. Anyway, they noticed it on their water bill that they received earlier in the month. It's addressed to Annette Tolis and the blankety blank that lives here, too. Do you think people in Michigan really talk like they're from Georgia?
Yeah, they do. It's the water.
I'm 99.9% sure that I'm the blankety blank she's referring to.
How does she know he was a blankety blank? Does she know these people?
I don't know. The couple said Glenn was apparently angry because they had left her a note about their frustration that she never was in the office to help them pay their water bill in person.
So they sent her a note.
I made an inappropriate comment on your bill that was highly unprofessional, Glenn's apology letter read. I'm truly sorry and embarrassed by my actions and assure you that it will never happen again because I just lost my job. I hope you'll find it in your heart to forgive me.
Here's a free bottle of water.
Glenn has been suspended without pay for at least 2 weeks, but the couple said they want to see harsher consequences, especially since the clerk initially denied sending the letter.
Why? 2 weeks without pay?
Well, they're going to say we're ready.
Okay, go ahead.
One, she lied about it. For two, she covered it up, and now she's admitted to it, and okay, it's just going to go away as old business as usual. I'm not buying that.
I'll get over it. Pay your water bill and just leave
the woman
alone.
Maybe that guy should go back to Mississippi or wherever he's from.
If my wife, Lori, got something in the mail that said to Lori Lindsay and the expletive that lives with her,
yeah, she would love it. She would think business as usual.
I'm afraid I would frame that thing and put it up somewhere.
What is going on up north?
You know, we're going to have to come up with an Ohio theme song, I'm afraid.
I just don't know what's going on.
Headline is, Ohio man requests police dog to search for stolen heroin in a bizarre 911 call. An Ohio man called 911 requesting a police dog to help track down heroin he claimed was stolen from him. Joseph Murphy, age 20, asked the dispatcher for a police dog in January and later pulled a brown, waxy substance from his pockets when responding police officers pressed him about the drug. Bath Police Chief Mike McNeely says it's among the most bizarre things he's heard in four decades of policing.
What
News
brown
5
waxy
reported.
Substance?
That's heroin.
No, that was a touchtone phone.
Bath 911, what is the address of the emergency?
It's kind of hard.
Yeah, what's the address?
3825 Iowa Road. I need a police dog.
You did what?
You did what?
You need a,
I need
police,
a police dog?
What's going on there? You need a squad? Sir, talk to me. Okay, what's going on there?
I'm trying to stop her from leaving.
Okay, well, why are you trying to, what happened?
She stole heroin from me.
Oh, it's his girlfriend.
$200 as well.
Okay, hold on for 1 second.
He said, I need a police dog.
Please, right now. She's trying to leave. I'm not. With my $200.
$200 worth of heroin? I'm calling the police dog.
Help me.
I'm on the phone. Hold on.
Does he think it's legal?
Help me.
I don't know. He said, help me.
Help me. Got my heroin.
Are you still there, sir?
I'll be honest. I thought
Hello?
This was going to be funny. That was actually
it's
depressing.
That was
a sad phone call.
I want to make sure I got my officers in route over there.
But at least
okay.
It was weird.
Yeah, I just heard you.
Hey, what the heck?
Okay,
got my heroin. I'm trying to get her to stop.
Send the police dogs, please.
Send the police dogs, please. She got my heroin.
Okay, you go on. Bring us back up, would you?
Wow, that was really depressing. Hey, thanks for bringing that one to the
Sorry,
table.
Sorry, golly.
Police investigate rash of unexplained cat shaving incidents. Can I read that one again? Just cause,
yes.
Can we just say that again?
Please.
Police investigate rash of unexplained cat shavings incidents
so
in Virginia.
People are shaving other people. Somebody's shaving cats.
I didn't even say it right. I was laughing. I didn't even say it right.
That's okay. It's
Police
hilarious.
Investigate rash of unexplained cat shaving incidents
yes.
in Virginia.
So somebody's going around shaving at pet cats. They're coming home naked.
Police in a small Virginia city are investigating a spate of unexplained cat shavings that have been occurring since December. At least 7 cats in a neighborhood of Waynesboro have been victimized. Waynesboro is about a 90-minute drive from Richmond. The animals have been shaved without their owner's permission, according to the Roanoke Times.
This brings up an important question. How do they even know it's their cats?
Yeah, how do you recognize it? Because it still says jingles on the on their collars.
Who is shaving these cats, man?
None of the pet owners have seen the person shaving the cats, and no witnesses have come forward. Cats owned by at least 2 separate residents have been shaved. The animals were shaved on their underbelly, groin, and leg areas. The cats were not otherwise harmed, the Times said. Don't they usually carry bigger stories than this?
Yeah, they usually do.
The shaving was done with a razor of some kind. Duh. The animals involved are clearly pets, not stray or feral animals. They were all wearing collars and are well-groomed. Yes, they are now.
Sure.
According to the Times, police initially thought a proactive citizen might have been taking the animals to get spayed or neutered, according to the local news. But that theory was disproved when some of the animals were shaved multiple times.
I know exactly what this is. There's a vet student in this town that is practicing on...
Never know.
Yeah.
The perpetrator is apparently abducting cats while they're outside their homes and then shaving them, according to Waynesboro.com, a local news website. Police gave permission for residents to put up flyers seeking information about the incidents, the site says. The flyers note that the episodes have proved very upsetting to the cats and their owners.
Well, sure they do.
They ask anyone with information about the shavings to contact police. Our cats will thank you.
That's hilarious.
Thank you.
Honey, you seen the cat?
Meow.
Why, something wrong with it? Yes. Hey, we got a sports story. I don't have a sports theme yet. I got to get that.
Yeah, well, I don't get sports stories, so I'm going to get a cup of Joe. And
okay,
I'm
back. I'll just read this then. You remember we had Stephen Piscotty story where he got hit 4 times going around the bases one time?
Wait, I got to come back?
Yes.
Wait, I thought I got to leave.
Well, this sports headline is Pirates, Josh Harrison gets hit by a pitch in 4 consecutive plate appearances. So this is actually related to the Stephen Piscotty story we had earlier with the Cardinals. Josh Harrison endured 2 painful days at the plate, but at least he's reaching base.
That's why I don't Well, there's a number of reasons I don't play any sport because I'm no good.
Yeah,
but
you don't want to get
hit. I don't want to be in a game where they throw projectiles at you.
Like 100 miles an hour.
100 miles an hour,
In a span of two games, the Pittsburgh Pirates infielder was hit by a pitch four consecutive times. His legs must attract baseballs because John Lester, Justin Graham, and Lance Lynn twice all pegged him there. Those are the pitchers that hit him. As noted,
maybe they don't like him.
Maybe. As noted by Michael Clare of the MLB.com's Cut 4, Harrison joins Craig Biggio from the year 2000 and John Jay, who was in 2014, as the only players in at least 80 years to get tagged twice in two straight games. Some hitters welcome the sore path to first base. You know, if you get hit by a bean, you get the base no matter.
Right,
you don't have to hit or anything. But this bizarre stretch has amplified his on-base percentage from .378 despite hitting a .263 with one walk.
You know what I just heard?
No.
As the not being, you know, not being a sports person.
Right.
What that entire story sounded like this.
What?
Wah, 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 wah,
oh, like Charlie Brown? Like his teacher?
Baseball.
Yeah.
That covered it. Sewer explodes in smoker's face after he drops a butt. This comes from Sydney.
Say Sydney?
Sydney.
We got our new one.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Sydney thing, or the Australian thing. You know why it's Australian, right?
I know why. I know why.
They do the kangaroo. Okay, that's all we got of that.
Yeah, that's all we get.
Yeah.
A smoker sucked in more than... Get it?
Yeah, I get
sucked
it.
Sucked in more than he bargained for when he dropped a cigarette down a drain pipe that immediately exploded in his face. I saw that movie. It was Christmas Vacation.
Why was his face near the drain pipe?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know how they live their lives in Australia.
Down under.
The man was walking on... But then that Cousin Eddie...
Yeah.
Threw it down in the sewer and then...
Yeah, but he wasn't down under.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I love the phone.
The man was walking along a footpath when he spotted what appeared to be a simple hole in the ground where he could litter his butt.
That's funny.
There's nothing to say that makes that any funnier than the way it's written.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm littering my butt. He dropped the smoldering ciggy into... That's the way the cool kids in Australia
say it. That's how they say it down under.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, he dropped the smoldering ciggy into the dark abyss, only to have it blasted back into his face along with a massive cloud of pavers, concrete, and dirt.
The drain pipe said, I'm tired of it. Yeah. I've had enough cigarette butts.
It went... When the dust cleared, the man lying flat on his face regained his composure and began to crawl away before getting up and running for his life.
That's music to run to right there.
Since the video was posted to Reddit on Tuesday, there have been several guesses as to what the cause of the sudden and massive blast would have been. Many assumed it was a gas leak.
Yeah.
But others speculated the cigarette triggered a methane buildup in the sewer.
Man, where was this? Where did that take place?
It was in Sydney.
Oh.
Hey, you better calm that one down because you got another one to queue up.
We go from one funky song to another one. In Florida. That one's not as funky. It's more folky.
It's a crowd pleaser, though.
Man naked on Florida road is later caught driving naked. Drivers were harassed by a naked man walking along a Florida highway, police
harassed?
Said.
Harassed? Was he, I mean, maybe appalled, but harassing them?
Carl B. Schmidt, what a funny name, of Alabama, was pacing unclothed, or naked, along Interstate 10
I think most of us know what unclothed means.
Near Marianna, Florida, on Tuesday, and performing lewd acts, according to the Tallahassee Democrat.
Why was the Tallahassee Democrat there?
I don't know. I guess he had nothing else to do. Schmidt, age 60, was still naked when he was pulled over by Florida Highway Patrol trooper during a traffic stop nearly 100 miles away. I guess, you know what? Synthetic drugs. This guy
we need a bath salts theme.
He was arrested and charged with exposure in a vulgar and indecent manner.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Hey, you like a good snake story.
I do like a good snake story.
A good snake story.
As long as the snake story happens far away from me, I'm fine with it.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. Should I skip this one?
No, go ahead.
No, actually, you know where this is.
Because it didn't happen here.
You know where this is.
Where?
Oh, yeah. Snake falls through Tim's ceiling after possum dinner.
Oh,
wait a minute.
He got fat.
Do they not spell possum the way we spell possum? Because it should be opossum.
They don't, obviously.
Snake falls through Jim's ceiling after a opossum dinner.
Yes.
An Australian business. Stop!
You said Australian.
Every time you do this, I can't help but dance. An Australian business owner who arrived to find a hole in her ceiling said a cleaner discovered the culprit, a snake that had swallowed a possum.
Ooh.
Chantal Vaughn, owner of Bakwa CQ Gym in Rockhampton, Queensland.
Okay, that's it.
Said she arrived at the business Tuesday morning after a three-day weekend to discover a large hole in the ceiling. Okay, get ready for this. Ready?
Go for it, yeah.
I know we've got she talks like a man, by the
she
way.
She does. That's okay.
I know we've got possums up here, so I thought, yes, definitely possums have had a fight up in the rafters. And one has fallen down and come through.
It fell down and came through, all right.
She said she put the hole out of her mind and set about her work week, but a cleaner sent her a text early Thursday morning letting her know the culprit, a snake, had been found curled up in the corner of another room.
The text said,
The snake was dancing to that song, by the way. Continuing to speak like a man, she said, I don't know where the snake was between Tuesday and Thursday, but I was teaching classes here, and I don't know where he was hiding. Vaughn posted to a local snake identification and removal group on Facebook with pictures of the snake and the hole it left in her ceiling. Because people, when you're looking for a professional to get rid of vermin, go to Facebook. That's the first place.
I'm going
to
try to find this page.
I need a qualified handler to remove this big fella. He's having a little snooze at the moment after his possum dinner.
Gross.
Vaughn said the snake did not put up much of a fight.
Heck
when
no.
The trappers arrived.
He was sleepy.
The snake was really well behaved, actually, because he was so full. The hook they had for him was not big enough, so all they did was touch him. He let a little hiss and then slithered into the bag.
Oy.
Into the bag. I just went like Southern Australian.
Southern what?
That's another story.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Dedicated mail. Oh, headline is. I got to start there. You'll yell at me. Dedicated mailman tries to be helpful, accidentally drops package in the worst place ever, in a snake's belly with the possum. No, that's not
right.
It. You got to give a little credit to the mailman who at least tries to get you your package on time, even if he destroys the whole thing in the process. Take, for example, Craig, this incredibly dedicated mailman who recently decided to push Sam Cook's package through his apartment window.
I thought Sam Cook passed away.
Well, this was before that.
All right.
Through his apartment window in Manchester, United Kingdom. Sadly, he didn't exactly look out below. It's not like he just rang the doorbell once and ran away. He put a little effort into this. He even left a note saying, I'm truly sorry. I think your possum might have fallen into the toilet accidentally. Like we said, F for effort. But it's cool because he was really nice about it, which makes us feel bad for getting mad at him in the first place.
How did he drop it in what toilet?
Well, on the bright side, a new friendship emerges as Sam posted on his Twitter feed, update. I have been contacted by a member of the Royal Mail team at my local office. The postie is going to knock on my door and apologize. So there was an open window, and he pushed the package through the open window. He didn't know it was a bathroom, and the package landed in the toilet. So that was followed by another tweet that said, I look forward to meeting him, and I will assure him he has nothing to be sorry about. No harm done. Keep up the great work at Royal Mail. So
wow.
There you go. Yeah.
Wow.
Here's another story from Ohio. I'm thinking we're going to really have to get an Ohio theme song if these keep rolling in like they have been.
You know, it's weird you say it that way because our stories actually do roll in.
They do roll in.
They just kind of roll like tumbleweeds.
Yeah, people throw them at us. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. I thought at first they were throwing stuff at us just to throw stuff at
no,
us.
No, they're just rolling in.
Right. Store clerk unable to read robber's note during robbery. Hold on, you want what? Hold on. You want something.
You've got some gum in your pocket?
Yeah.
Can I have a piece?
A robber's handwriting was so bad that the store clerk he was trying to rob couldn't read his note demanding money. Friday, police charged 22-year-old Deion Taylor with the robbery. He's now in Mahoning County Jail.
Mahoning.
According to a police report, a man walked into the Family Dollar store on Market Street at about 7:30 p.m. Thursday and handed the clerk a note. The clerk said he couldn't read the handwriting and handed it back to the man and asked him to read it to him.
You're going
to
have to read this for
me. The robber complied and read the note out loud. Police said the note read, this is what it says, ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is a robbery. Please be quiet. Don't let your pride get you killed. It sounded like his handwriting was going to get somebody killed. The clerk opened the register and gave the man money and a pack of Newport cigarettes. Why'd he keep the cigarettes in the register?
Why'd he give them to him? The guy didn't ask for it.
Yeah,
it's
right
on the note.
The man left the store and ran away. Taylor was arrested in the connection with the robbery Friday after police released surveillance photos from the store.
All right, Craig, good story, but I got a story about a scientific study here. You know how I like scientific studies.
Let me
ask you this one question. What music genre would you say had the most drug references? Of all the music genres out there, which one do you think, without reading this headline?
I'm not going to read. Honestly,
yeah.
I've already read the headline.
Well,
but I'm not going to say, I wouldn't say it was that one. I would say it would be like,
I would think rap or even jazz, maybe.
Jazz?
Yeah, because there's a lot of reefer songs, jazz, but anyway.
What kind of jazz you listen to?
Reefer jazz.
what kind of jazz you been listening
to? I listen to reefer jazz on the jazz XM radio.
I don't think jazz is what you think it is. I would say country music. Wait, final answer.
Yeah, country music. Country music has the most drug references of any genre, study finds. A mother or father traveling through American life with their children planted in the backseat of their car will oftentimes change the tunes on the radio from rap and hip-hop to so-called safer genres like jazz or country music.
See? Jazz is safer.
Many parents figure exposing their offspring to certain types of music will also introduce them to controversial topics, including the appropriation or coolness of drug use.
Okay.
Turns out they're wrong, Craig.
They're wrong.
A new study published Friday on Addiction.com and provided exclusively to Newsweek and Weird reveals country music
delivered to our doorstep.
Country music has the most drug references of any musical genre, followed by jazz, I told you, and pop and electronic rock, other folk and rap respectively. So rap is the very last one
in
the study.
Weird. So are they considering alcohol drugs?
I don't know.
Because if they are, then alcohol is always mentioned in
country music. Absolutely. Yes, that's right. Rap is among the least likely genres to mention drugs. The lack of drug references.
I like how you said genre like you were drunk.
Genre. I didn't say genre like I'm drunk. The lack of drug references in hip-hop and rap music could be a relatively new phenomenon. At least for the younger listeners. Logan Friedman, a data scientist at Addiction.com, tells Newsweek the genre could be undergoing a fundamental transformation, though more research would be needed to determine why rappers aren't talking about drugs as much as they used to.
Country music has gone under
decades ago.
Country music's gone under a fundamental transformation into garbage.
Yeah, well, some would argue. When it comes to the top 20 artists most frequently mentioning drugs, plenty of rappers make the list, however, from Lil Wayne, The Game, and Jay-Z to groups like Bone Thugs and Harmony, back from our day there.
Sure,
and
so.
The Cottonmouth Kings. But the normalization of drug references in music only became an industry-wide standard after the 1960s, according to the latest data. You know, I remember, Craig, when rap music first started. Talk about rap music. But I remember me and my buddies, and you might have been in this group.
I never listened to rap.
We listened to it. Me and Jerry Thomas, you know, we would hang around the halls.
Don't drop names.
I could drop names.
Now everybody knows you're friends with Jerry Thomas.
Yeah, but there was nothing. There were no drug references in there. You know, the Beastie Boys may talk about fighting for your right to party, but they didn't say, let's go burn down a good one, you know?
They didn't?
Nope, not that I remember.
It wasn't much later after that, though.
Yeah, it's when the gangster rap came out.
When you and because, hey, you know, you and I, we're a little bit gangsta, too.
Are we really?
Yeah, we're gangsta.
I didn't know that.
Hey, everybody, we happen to be gangsta.
I will pop a cap.
Yes, you will. Vienna sausages.
Yes, they're delicious.
I wouldn't go that far. Vienna bartender appeals fine for public belching and wins.
If I had an update theme song, and we used to, but I don't have it anymore, I would play it right now because we covered this story when he got the ticket.
Vienna. This comes from the AP.
Yeah.
The Associated Press.
That's right.
He who burps loudest laughs best, at least in this case. Nearly a year after a policeman ticketed Eden Mihik for loudly belching next to him. Is that even possible?
I guess so. It happened.
The Vienna bartender has won his appeal. Mihik was fined 70 euros, that's $75, for a sonorous. Is that
Sonor loud. Yeah, very loud. Very loud belch.
Post-kebab burp. Oh, he was mad because it stunk like a kebab. Next to an officer at an amusement park, the ticket said he violated public decency with a loud belch next to a police officer. I bet the law does not say that.
I bet that's not on the books anywhere, man.
But a court document emailed to the Associated Press on Friday shows authorities have ruled in his favor. It says there was never proof that he burped to affront the officer.
Yeah.
Max Belch resonated in Austria long after it was emitted. Groups organized to support him and a kebab chain, I can't say kebab now, kebab chain paid for both his ticket and all expenses paid trip to Istanbul.
How about that?
They paid for his ticket. I thought it was turned over.
I guess they paid for it anyway.
They turned it over, wrote something on the back of it.
Exactly. Hey, guess what? Man escapes with minor cuts after snorkeling headfirst into a crocodile.
I think you kind of got to wait for the music to die down before you try to do that.
Okay, headline is, man escapes with minor cuts after snorkeling headfirst into a crocodile in Australia.
You just never see the headline, snorkels headfirst into a crocodile.
And just to keep me from hitting the music over, I'm just going to leave it in the background for this story.
How about you just not?
This comes to us from Sydney. A man who accidentally snorkeled headfirst into a crocodile in northern Australia escaped with minor injuries as wildlife officers on Monday worked to track down the reptile. That reptile is in trouble.
You got to turn that off. That's distracting.
The crocodile, measuring
Stop,
up to
I'm
2 meters,
dancing.
Reacted defensively when the swimmer inadvertently swam into it on Sunday near popular Lizard Island in Queensland. The man suffered minor cuts and abrasions to his head and was treated for his non-life-threatening injuries. He's
That's
lucky.
Not a crocodile.
He is lucky. He's one lucky dude.
He snorkeled into a crocodile.
Wildlife officers are traveling to the area and will search the area for the crocodile responsible.
Hey, the crocodile.
Okay, back to the story. The waters surrounding Lizard Island are known crocodile hotspots.
Wait. Isn't all of Australia known as hotspots for crocodiles?
I think it really is. In a separate incident on Sunday, a crocodile was found decapitated near Innisfail in Queensland, prompting authorities to warn...
Wait, did it say he was found decapitated because he was an infidel?
No, it's not what it said, but they prompted authorities to warn it was illegal to kill the reptiles. Why? Why is it illegal to kill a crocodile? They're vicious.
It's not illegal to snorkel headfirst into them.
Based on initial inspection...
I'm still dancing.
The 4-meter animal appears to have been deceased for some time.
Okay. Everybody wants to do the kangaroo. They already did. Bro. Hey.
Oh
hey.
No!
Google. Oh no! Hold on. Okay. Hold the phone. Just wait. I will point at you when I'm ready.
Okay. Go ahead.
Google Maps error leads pizzeria customers to a man's home in Australia.
I did not plan on these Australian stories simply because of our theme song.
Whatever. An Australian man said unwanted visitors had been streaming to his home after Google Maps mistakenly labeled it as a pizzeria. Michael McIlwee, 69, said it seemed like a simple mistake that had been made when someone showed up at his Darwin home to deliver magazines meant for a pizza restaurant, but soon another person showed up seeking a job.
That's a problem.
McIlwee said would-be pizza customers started knocking at the door, and that led to the discovery that Google Maps had incorrectly labeled his house as a local pizzeria. It's like getting your identity stolen.
No, it's
not. We told Australian Broadcasting Corp Radio Darwin, your house has been stolen and put up as a pizza shop.
It's been there for years.
My daughter's been approached by people wanting to know what time we open, he said. I don't know how many people have turned up my house thinking it was a pizza place.
Why don't he just start cooking pizzas and selling them,
right,
man?
The error was reported to Google, which has since corrected the map to put his address in put in the right location. But here's the thing.
That's funny.
If I drive through a neighborhood and I think I'm looking for a Pizza Hut,
yeah,
I kind of know that I'm in a neighborhood.
Yes.
I know it's not.
That's a house.
It's a house.
Yes.
There's a difference.
All right, Craig.
Of course, you'd think people also wouldn't call the police when somebody stole their heroin.
No. All right, Craig. Headline is, woman.
Whoa, man.
She stole my heart and my cat. Age 63, rescued after trying to rappel to her apartment window. 63-year-old woman. So here it is. A 63-year-old woman in China needed to be rescued by firefighters when locking herself out of her apartment led to an ill-fated attempt to rappel to a window.
What is this? I Love Lucy?
Video recorded at the scene Wednesday.
Well, it wasn't recorded somewhere else.
In Luzhou shows the woman, identified as Zhai, clinging to some rope she borrowed from a local construction site. I wonder if she borrowed it or if she just went over and grabbed it.
Hey, look up there. It's...
A firefighter is lowered to where she is dangling. A firefighter helps the woman climb back up to enter the apartment by her window. Jia told police she was locked out of her apartment when a gust of wind slammed her door and she didn't have money for a locksmith. That's sad.
That is sad, but if it's an apartment, shouldn't there be somebody there that can get in?
You would think. So she borrowed the ropes and decided to try rappelling to her window. She said the attempt hit a snag when she overshot her target and ended up stranded on an outdoor air conditioning unit. Gia was not injured during her attempt. You got to give it to her, you know? You just got to give it to her.
Cha-cha-cha-cha.
Oh, you hear that?
Hey, you know what that time is.
Yeah, I know what time it is.
Chaz Flacus, top 10.
That's right. And this one's just for you because I want you to read all these because you do a pretty good Christopher
Walken. There's a guy I know that does a killer walking, and he does it, and he's got the pitch and everything.
Yeah.
I just accidentally speak.
You did good, though.
No, I accidentally speak like him sometimes.
You read them, and then I'll read about them.
I don't
them,
know
okay?
if I want to or not.
Okay, you don't have to.
Okay, you know what?
What?
Quit bossing me around.
Okay, let's do this then. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, number 10.
Wait.
Oh, what?
10 surprising facts about Christopher Walken.
Oh, I didn't know we hadn't read that yet.
Did we not?
I don't know.
I don't.
Doesn't matter.
Don't,
it's our podcast.
I don't actually remember.
We could be. We see. Number 10.
He's really, really bad at riding horses.
Although he's had to ride horses for work, Walken says they never liked him. I can't do it.
I can't either, really. Number 9. Marlon Brando pitched him a weird variety show.
Although Walken didn't know Brando personally, he claims the actor called him one day in the 90s to pitch him a musical variety show. Brando would be the host. You know what? I want to see this show already. If these two are involved, Brando would be the host, and it would be shot in his home, and he'd make guests do dance routines with him.
I'd watch it.
You're not kidding. I'd watch it.
Number 8. He wrote a play about Elvis.
This play was called
I'm giving up on the voice, by the way.
Okay. The play was called Him, and it examined Presley's life after death, posting an insane theory about his demise and casting his dead twin brother as a major character.
Wow.
Yeah.
Number 7. He almost ran for president.
When Conan O'Brien asked him about it on Late Night, Walken seemed pretty into the idea. You know, I'll do it, he joked. Sure, if they want me to be president, I'll do it. Why not?
Why not?
He even had a campaign slogan. You know what it was, Craig?
No more zoos.
Exactly.
Number 6. There's a theme park ride on his resume.
Now, that's interesting. In addition to acting in countless movies and plays, TV shows, and those two music videos, you remember?
Yeah, I love
Fatboy Slim.
Weapon of Choice.
Yes. Walken took on a unique role of Frank Kincaid, the hologram host of Disaster.
Nice.
Right at Universal Studios.
I always love going to Disney World or whatever. And you look up and like, hey, I know that guy from a show.
Yeah.
Or whatever. There's always somebody. Because, you know, it's another day in the life for those guys.
Yes, it is. It's a gig.
$10 is $10.
Hey.
He talks that way for a reason. Number 5.
Number 5. In an interview with The Guardian, he chalked it up to a childhood in Queens, growing up with the immigrants from whom English was a second language.
So he's saying he talks that way for a reason because he's actually thinking about what he's going to say next, maybe?
I don't know. He just grew up talking that way.
I'm going to vote head injury. Number 4, he starred in a music video for Madonna. I remember that.
Yeah, see, everybody knows the Fatboy Slim one, but he also did one for Madonna, and it was before.
What song do you know?
I don't remember.
Well, why don't you do your research before you do these top 10s?
I just don't remember.
Number 3,
yep.
He got his stage name from the nightclub scene.
Now, this story goes way back to when he was acting in a group at a nightclub, and the owner of the club thought it was humorous to change the actors' names when she introduced them.
Okay.
So one time she just said, and here is Christopher Walken, which wasn't anywhere near his real name.
No.
But that's how he got the name Christopher Walken.
Wow.
He kept it.
That is so interesting.
I thought it was.
Okay, number 2.
Yeah.
He worked as a lion tamer.
When he was 16 years old, he spent his summer working as a lion tamer in the local circus.
Now, believing he was in the circus is easy.
Yes, it was.
I can do that. Number 1.
Yes.
He and his brothers were child stars.
Yes, Walken and his younger brother ended up in a cameo role with Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin. So that's going to bring
us. I got to look that up.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I don't know if there's video of it or not.
If there was just a website on the internet where you could look up any video you wanted to watch.
Oh, write that down, man. You know what? We're going to go out with a little Mark Patch music. And thank you guys for listening to Weird. Check us out on www.weirdnewspodcast.com.
Hey, also, remind your friends not to look for that other name anymore.
No, we don't go by that name anymore.
It's just weird.
You know what? It is kind of weird. We'll see you next time.
Weird. I'm being weird right now.
Yeah, you are.
Weird.
Stop talking.
Christopher Walken.
I can't help it. We're going out.